Matthew chapter number 25. And we will start reading in verse number 14. This is a parable that Jesus gave that actually is recorded in several of the Gospels, not just Matthew, but we're going to pick the Matthew one this morning. And I think it'll be a blessing to us as a church as we seek to move forward for the cause of Christ. So Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. Here's what it says. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he said that he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there that thou hast is thine. And his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not, where gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own at usury. Take therefore the talent from him which, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I do pray, God, that you would bless this message. I pray that you'd help us as we seek to be faithful in the little things. And God, I do pray that you'd help us to grow in our determination and our dedication and our duty and just taking care of the little things. And God, I do pray now that you bless this message. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. One of the great joys of my life is being the pastor of Kauai Baptist Church. It really is. To be able to do what God has called to do with your life has been a great joy for me. And I've been able to be a pastor here on the island of Kauai for almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years in September. And it's been a great joy, a wonderful joy to be able to do that here. And really being the leader of God's people as we seek to do God's will here in this place to fulfill his mission on earth is awesome. It's incredible. It's great. There's nothing better than it. And one of the goals I have as a pastor is to keep growing in our ability to reach more people with the gospel. And that's our focus and that's our goal. How can we reach more people? And you see today, we've got kind of a full auditorium and kind of a full overflow, and we have plans to build a new building, and that's part of the reason why we're doing that, is to have more space so that more people can come to fill it up and to have greater capacity to reach more people with the gospel. And the reality that I have and that I believe, reaching one person is great. There's nothing like it, but I believe that reaching 2 is better. Again, I love reaching 1, and our goal should be just 1, the value of 1. But if we can reach 2, praise God. That's a blessing. And that's our goal. That's what we look for, is how can we reach just 1 more? How can we reach 2 or 3 or 4? How can we expand in our ability to reach? And to that end, we have tried to add ministries and opportunities for service to increase our impact. We're always looking for ministries that we can start or add or perfect to be able to reach more people. That's what it's all about. And the reality is, for me personally, I love to dream big. I have some big dreams for our island, for our church. And I sat down with a man a couple weeks ago, and he asked me, what's your vision for Kauai and for Kauai Baptist Church? And I don't talk about that very much. I talk about the vision for this year. I talk about the vision for the next couple years, but I don't talk about the vision for the next 20 years. I have a vision for the next 20 years, for the next 30 years, what I think God would have us to do. And I spent several hours talking to him about what I believe God would have us to do with our church, the vision that he's given me. And to be honest, it's something that I haven't shared with a lot of people. I'm not even sure that our trustees know exactly what that long-term goal and vision is, because it's pretty big. I'm even scared saying it. But for right now, it's doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's being faithful in the little things. And the reason why I don't share it, because we're not ready yet. We're not there yet. We haven't reached that goal yet. And we have to do some growing still in our ministry. And there's an old saying, first things first, right? You got to do the first things first. You can't think about all that stuff, because you'll never get there if you don't take care of first things. The first things first. And we have to finish some tasks in front of us before we can move on to bigger things. And from time to time, and I love to dream, and I love to think about what God could do with us. And from time to time, somebody will come to me. Maybe it'll be a visitor from the mainland that we're so glad to have several of you here today. Or maybe it'll be a member of our church, and they'll give me some ideas. And I love ideas. I really do. I love to hear people's feedback on what we think we should do with church and how we should grow church and how we can be involved in church especially. That's great. I love it. Ideas let me know that you're invested in the work, that you're excited about your church. There's pronouns that we use to describe Kauai Baptist Church, and one of the ones I love is our church. From time to time, people talk to me and they say, well, Pastor, this is what you should do with your church. I don't like that one. I like our church. I like you saying, "This is, I'm invested in this as well. This is my church, and I want to be involved, and I want to be invested." And so hearing ideas tells me that, hey, you're invested. You're a part. You have ideas. You see things that you want to see done, and that's great, and I love that. But every once in a while, I'll get an idea that's big time. Like, Pastor, you know, we could really reach a lot of people if we built a water park. Like, yeah, great. And there's all different kinds. Well, we need to build a radio station, do all these crazy stuff. And that's awesome. I love the idea. But that's way beyond us. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we had a private plane? Sure. Let's get two, you know? No, that's way, way beyond us. We get these ideas, and we have these things that come in, and I would be one day maybe do some of these things if it's specifically for the purpose of reaching more people. That's the key. It's got to be about reaching more people. It can't be just about our own pleasure, our own popularity. It has to be about reaching more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every once in a while, we'll get these ideas, and by the way, we have plans for more Bible studies, for more outreach, for more discipleship, for more camps, for more ministry. In the very near future, we're planning it right now. But how do we go from what we're doing now to some of the things that we have ideas and dreams about in the future? How do you go from today to what's going to happen next? And the answer is found in our text. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable, which is a story that has a spiritual significance, spiritual meaning. So it's not just a great story to tell. He's actually trying to teach us something, truth, about our spiritual life. And the story is about a man who left his servants with some of his goods, and they're supposed to take care of it and increase it as he leaves and while he's gone. And he gives them his goods according to their, the Bible says, several abilities. So as they're capable, he gives them his goods and says, hey, listen, take care of these goods, be a good steward of the goods, and I'm going to come back. And so the story is very simple. Two of the servants were faithful and increased the man's goods, while one, who was given the least, failed to do as the master intended. And that's what Matthew 25 and verse 21, the Bible says, his Lord said to him, well done, the good servants here, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. And in several of the other accounts of this parable, the Bible uses the word little things. Thou hast been faithful with the little things. And the truth is that God wants to see us do the little things before he will give us the opportunity to do the big things. We have to be faithful in that which is little, basic, ordinary, in order to get to where we need to get to and doing some of the, what we might call, bigger things. But what we realize when we get into talking about the little things is that's actually the big things. The little things are the important things. And they're not so little when you begin looking at them. But it's so easy for us to look at them as insignificant, as ordinary, as mundane. But they're the important things. This quarter, our focus has been, you can see it on the bulletin, impact of faith. The third quarter of 2017. And the Bible tells us that Jesus calls the one who did little things faithful. Thou hast been faithful. And the idea is, the meaning, the definition of the word faithful is simply full of faith. Faithful. The person who is full of faith is actually faithful. And we need to realize this morning that as we think about what would be better, and we put more attention on the bigger and bigger things, we need to have faith to give attention to the little things, because that's where the true impact is made, in the details. In the little things. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful, full of faith, doing the little things, impacting in the little areas. So if we're going to do anything for God as a church, and I'm excited about what God is doing in our church, but if we're going to do anything for God, we have to be faithful in the little things. And I'll tell you what, this is the hardest thing for all of us. It's difficult. I don't know, and maybe you are great at it, but I don't know any person who can say, yep, the little things I'm good at. Because we seem to, oftentimes we gloss over them. Because we do, we think they're not significant. But they are. They're the most significant. And we have to discipline ourselves, and we have to tell ourselves, this is what's important. This is where the issues are. And in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, I love this verse. I use this verse oftentimes. And the Bible says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how canst thou do in the swelling of Jordan? So the idea here is, if we're having trouble walking and running with footmen, people, how are you going to contend with horses? And if you're having difficulty in a time of peace and you're being wearied in a time of peace, how are you going to work when the rivers swell and it's chaos? The implication is not very well. We're not going to do very good. So the little things, the details, the small things, that's what's important. And so today I want to give you some little things that I think we need to be good at if we're going to move on to maybe bigger things. And you never move on from little things. You just add to them. You do the little things and you add to them. You do the little things and you add to it. So what are some things that are, maybe we might seem, well, that's not that important, and we move on from them. Remember the church in Revelation, I believe the church of Laodicea, that Jesus said to them, thou hast left thy first love. When you read that passage of Scripture, that church wasn't Laodicea. I can't remember now what it was, which church it was. But it was one of the most servant-hearted churches. They had all kinds of things that they were doing. But they had left their first love. And the first thing that I believe is the basic and most important thing is to love one another. The little thing of loving one another. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have that love one to another. That's the basic starting point of the little things. When it comes to ministry in church, is simply loving one another. And again, if we're not careful, we begin to think, oh, yeah. What's next? This is where it is. A church that doesn't effectively love one another is a mess. No matter how many ministries you have, no matter how many outreaches you have, no matter how many stuff that you have, if you don't love each other, we've missed it. That's a little thing that in reality is quite a big thing. Loving one another. It all starts here. There is no sense in doing any ministry if we don't love one another. And what are we doing? Right? And by the way, by one another, I mean everyone. Because when you tend to think about, oh yeah, I love my one another's. Yeah, the people that I like, I love them. You know, my people. But sometimes we forget to realize it's everybody. Not just the people that you get along with or that you particularly like or that have the personalities that get along with yours. It's everybody, not just the people that you naturally like. You love everybody. That's important. That's the basic foundation on which we build from. And you never leave that. Every single person we're supposed to love. And that's the first step in ministry. Well, stop. That's it. Get that down. Before we do all this other craziness, you have to love each other. That's where it starts. Again, you can have all the Bible studies you want, and I'm all for Bible studies. I think it's important. It's valuable. And you can have all the great music, and we have some great music up at camp. You can have all the great music that you can listen to. And you can have the best facilities. But if we don't start by loving one another, we're wasting our time. And we're spinning our wheels. We're not doing as God would have us do. So it starts with loving one another. In the Bible, God uses the word charity. And charity in the Bible is a word that means love motivated by grace or agape love, God's love, charity. And the verse, the chapter that we have that so eloquently describes this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I love it. In fact, it says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries. Wow. And have all knowledge. What amazing talent. And though I have all faith. Whoa. So that I could move mountains. And have not charity. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods. All of them. To feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It all starts here, loving one another. That's where it begins. Doesn't mean you can't add to that. We should add to that. But it starts with loving one another. And if we don't have that down, if we're not faithful in that little thing, we'll be in trouble. So what does that love look like? I love this one because continuing on in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I like to take out the word charity and put in my name. It's a great exercise. Charity suffereth long and is kind. So if I were to take and put my name in there or my title as a pastor, I'd say, pastor suffereth long and is kind. That's love. That's what it looks like. Pastor envieth not. Pastor Nathan vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not his own. not easily provoked. I don't think evil. I don't rejoice in iniquity, but I rejoice in truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope in all things. I endure all things. That's what loving one another looks like. That's what it looks like. Because again, we oftentimes, we want to define who we love and we want to define how we love. You know, yeah, oh yeah, I'm being loving. I told them why they were wrong. I'm loving them. And there is, we do speak the truth in love, but oftentimes that's, we're just being offensive. We're just being cruel. You know? That dress doesn't even match. I'm loving them. I'm helping them with their style. It's pathetic. Right? Oh, what love? Please, love me like that. And we do that. We tell folks where they're messed up. We tell folks where they do all the things that they're wrong. And again, there's time for reproof. There's time for correction. There's time for the Word of God to speak. Every time the Word of God should speak. But oftentimes, we're just being nitpicky. We're just pulling out our preferences, and we're just saying, hey, you don't match up to what I like, and I'm loving you by telling you that you're irritating me. That's not love. That's not what God commands us to do. And again, we have to be careful about all these things. If we're going to be faithful in the little things, it starts with loving one another. And by the way, another thing that we love to do in loving people is we love to put them on trial. We love to test them. This is one that I love. Pastor, I got a haircut this week and nobody noticed. I even flipped it a couple times. We're on trial now. That's not love. I heard of this actually happening. Thank God. Actually happening. A guy left church. And he was waiting to see how long it took for somebody to call him to see where he was. That is so loving. That is so great. Well, nobody noticed I was gone. Maybe they did and they were glad. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what was going on there, you know? Woo! But that's a trial. You're testing people. Don't do that. That's not loving. That's not caring. That's not loving one another. You know, there's a ministry that does this. They call pastors, they leave them a voicemail, and they literally time them how long it takes to get back to them. Unbelievable. And they post it. His response time, 6 months. I don't know what it was. But that's so loving. That's exactly what that pastor needed at that point in his life, because obviously he just needs somebody to tell him how bad he was. Unbelievable. And sometimes we do that in churches. We test each other. There's somebody that did this before. I was like, what are you doing? They just come into church and they just sit there. And they literally are waiting to see how long it takes for somebody to come up and say hi. Did you ever think about being the one that says hi? There's an idea. Let's be the one that is loving instead of waiting to be the one that's loved. We love one another. Be the one that loves. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, and our church is great, I love our church, but churches can be full of people who are waiting to be loved and nobody gets loved. Right? We'll start loving people. Love one another. That's the building block on which the little things. Love folks. Be involved. It's an amazing thing. On the other hand, love means that we reach out to those who haven't been to church in a little while. Love means that we care for those and we communicate our love to those who are struggling to even understand what love means. So yeah, we may at times get somebody who says, I'm going to put everybody in this church on trial. Well, love them. That's the idea. Love one another. And we all need to work at being faithful in the little things. So again, people come from all different backgrounds, they come from all different hurts and all different things. Love them. Love one another. Be the person that loves. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know,
Yeah, he's the pastor. He doesn't need anybody to love him. That's not true. I need to be loved just as much as you need to be loved. And our leaders in our church, and sometimes we say, well, he didn't call me. Well, you didn't call me either. My family does this to me all the time. Well, you never called. I'm like, well, did you forget my number? You know, hello? You can pick up the phone. You can send a text, right? Yeah, I'll call you, but you can call me. It's okay. You can tell me, hey, just praying for you, Pastor. Love you. Wow. That's great. And I'll do the same. That's what it's all about, loving one another. It's the little things, the basic things, the small things. Are you faithfully loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? The second thing is to pray. The little thing of prayer, and obviously when I say that, that's not a little thing. But how often do we think to gloss over it? Jesus, speaking of the last days, said in John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, and in that day, the last days, ye shall ask me nothing. Isn't that incredible? He's speaking of the last days. The people in the last days will ask God for nothing. They're not praying. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. How often do we attempt things for God and neglect to ask God for the power and the blessing on our efforts? Prayer is such a little thing in effort, but such a powerful thing in results. Again, what is it? How much work does it take to pray? You don't really, honestly, have to bow your head and close your eyes. But even that, if that were required to pray, is not that hard. It's little in effort. It's not a big deal. It's just talking to God. And sometimes we so skip over it because, again, we think, oh, man, we got to do this, we got to do that. Oh, yeah, we got to do on the internet, we got to do multi-level, we got to get a market on the Facebook, we got to do all these things on social media, we got to do all this different stuff. Yeah. Well, have you prayed? And again, I see all of these things, and I understand the idea, but I wonder if we've actually missed it. I get all these emails, here, you need to do this, sign up for this, do that, get this engine going on this and this and this, this website stuff going, boom, 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 this social media thing, boom, 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 and you'll see. And there's no emails ever about, hey, let's pray. You know, and I understand the reason why is because they're trying to sell their bundle or whatever it is. You can't really sell prayer, but it's important. It's vital to pray. Have we neglected the little thing of prayer? Prayer moves God. Prayer brings the blessings of God. Prayer brings the resources of God. I love to come to our Wednesday night Bible study because it's a prayer meeting. And we pray for stuff. We pray for each other. We pray for needs. It's prayer. It's vital. It's important. Are you faithful in prayer? Again, we have some incredible dreams for God, but nothing will happen without God. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, and Jesus looking at them saith, with men is it impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. So it's not with us. Again, it's not with our resources. It's with God. And so that happens with prayer. It's all by prayer. Again, by the way, we don't need to start a marathon prayer meeting. Just pray without ceasing. Just be in a state of prayer throughout the day. Just pray. Just pray. That's it. Don't neglect it. Just pray. Start with the footmen, and when the time comes, you'll be able to run with the horses. Just pray. Pray for everything. Pray when you're driving. Pray when you're going through the mall. Whatever it is, pray. Pray. The next little thing is give. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Truth be told, in this area, I believe our church is very faithful. We have a giving church. It's an amazing thing. And I'm sure we could all do better
improve in the little area of giving, but I've been overwhelmed by your heart to give. It's been amazing. It's been incredible to watch. Camp is just a small sample of the sacrificial giving of God's people. I hope we can get a video together that will show you just a glimpse of what camp is like for these teenagers. How your giving made an impact in the life of these teenagers. God worked in their hearts in some incredible ways. On the first night, there was a teenage girl. She was in foster care, and she comes from a terrible situation. And in fact, she just found out that the state, she's now property of the state, a ward of the state. Her parents lost all rights to her whatsoever. It's been completely severed. Mom's in jail. It's a mess. But on that first night, she came to camp, and she heard the preacher preach, give the gospel, and she responded to the gospel, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. And after the message, she came running up to the preacher, Brother Sammy, and she said this. She said, I was a Mormon, but now I'm a Christian. And she was really excited about that. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And that happened. She was a sponsor kid. We sponsored her. Our church did. Gave. That's awesome. It's incredible. It's amazing. And our church does that over and over. It's incredible. Our church is an extremely giving church. But it's a little thing. It's something that we need to give attention to. It's something that we can't gloss over. The building fund is another example of the tremendous giving spirit of our church. But let's determine to be a church, by God's grace, that will continue to be faithful in giving, in the little thing of giving. The next thing is important. It's our witness. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto him and saying, all power is given to him in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. It's one of the most basic behaviors of being a Christian, just to tell what Jesus did to you. Look at the people who came into contact with Jesus during his earthly ministry recorded in the Bible, when he would heal them, when he would help them, when he would respond. What did they do? They got up and they went telling everybody. Even there was a couple times he told them, hey, don't tell anybody what I did. They went telling everybody what he did. They told everybody. They were a witness for Jesus Christ. It's a basic part of being a Christian. It's a little thing. But being a witness is one of the most neglected commands by Christians today. There was new findings from Lifeway Research that indicated that 61% of evangelical Christians fail to share their faith on a regular basis, even though they believe it is their responsibility to do so. And nearly half of those respondents said that they have not invited a non-Christian friend to church in the past 6 months. Are you faithful to share the gospel with others? Is this something that Jesus can say of us, of you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, in the area of witness, the little thing of witness? Are we somebody who can be said that? I'm faithful in my witness. I've done a good job. What's astounding to that, what's amazing about that to me, is that we know this is a command. We know God wants us to do this. In fact, of that survey, 100% of those surveyed as evangelical Christians admitted that they believe God wants them to witness. And they believe that to share their faith is their responsibility to do so. And yet only 61% of them actually did. Half of them have never invited somebody to church in the past 6 months. And yet we believe this is something we should do. Can God say of us in our witness, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just sharing the gospel, just telling what Jesus did. You don't have to be elaborate, you don't have to be crazy. Jesus loved me, he saved me, he gave me life. That's it. He can do for you what he did for me. Being a witness, it's a little thing. Let's be faithful. The final area that I want to look at this morning, a little thing, and I use the word connect. Connect. The little thing of connecting. I use that word over the word attend because you can attend without connecting. And one of the most basic instructions God has for us is to be connected to a local group of believers. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body," that's us, "fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So what the Bible is saying here is that God has fitly joined us together. And therefore, it's important to allow yourself to connect to that body, to be a part of that body. And I want to challenge you because, again, you can attend a church and not connect. You can show up, you can sing the songs, you can hear the preaching and go your way and never connect, never be fitly joined together. And so it's important for us to have connection. I made a list of things that can help you. Because you say, "Well, I just don't feel connected to my church." Here's a list of things that will help. The first thing is understand God's purpose for church, right? Why did God create church? And by the way, church is not my idea. It's not anybody's idea except for God's. It's Christ's idea. Praise God. It's his idea. So the church is to be fitly joined together. That's amazing. That's incredible. That's powerful. And to understand God's purpose for having church in the first place. The second thing that you can do to connect, again, not the only thing, but is go to church. Show up. That helps. The third thing, and I would just pick three of these. Talk to people. How are you doing? Good. Where do you work again? Oh. Where do you, oh, you live in, okay. Cool. Well, yeah, start talking. Get to know some people. Talk to them. Find out about their life. Find out what's going on. Find out something that you can pray for. Again, I always have to caution with that because there's one or two that go, "Oh, I can be a busybody." No. But you can talk to people. You can be a friend to folks. Don't be in everybody's business. "So why do you do that?" Don't worry about that. But get to know some people. Here's a great one. Invite somebody to fellowship. Whether it's to go out to Starbucks or into your home or wherever it be, from the church. Say, "Hey, would you come fellowship with me? I don't feel connected." Connect! It's not a big mystery, is it? I don't feel a part. Then be a part. The invitation's open. It's wide open. Please, connect. Please, be a part. Invite somebody to coffee, or you don't like coffee, go somewhere else. Whatever it is, connect. That's important. Another area is serve. Serve in the church. Find a job to do. I love it. I was coming down from the mountain, and we had just finished camp, and I got all this stuff to do. I got all these things to take care of, and I came around the corner. Signs are up for church. Praise God. Boom, something done. A lot of things were done while I was gone because people are serving. And that's exciting. Find an area to serve. When you serve, you feel connected. You have a part. You have a role to play. Another thing you can do to connect is pray. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the leadership. Pray for your church members. Pray for health issues that we have in our church. Pray for things that people are going through. There's a lot of heavy stuff people are going through. Pray for it. Trust me. You start praying for people, you start bearing their burdens, you'll feel a part of it. You'll feel connected. Another great opportunity is just invite folks to church. Simple thing of inviting people to church helps you feel connected to your church. Just invite. "Would you come?" Great. Awesome. That's it. Invite them to church. Friends, coworkers, strangers, who cares? Invite them to church. Here's a good one, and this is the opposite of all the positive, and that is refrain from complaining or being bitter in your spirit.
because that'll disconnect you real fast. You want to get disconnected from church, start complaining about it. There was no seats. There was no parking. Start complaining. And you'll feel disconnected. Get that bitter spirit in your heart towards somebody, you'll disconnect real fast. So refrain from that and engage, connect. It's the little things. I have never had a member voice a frustration with not feeling connected or fed who is attending all the services of Kauai Baptist Church, ever. It's always the ones who are spotty, who are disconnected, who won't serve, who won't love, who won't give, who won't participate. Participate. That's it. And you'll connect. It's easy. It's so easy. But do some of the things. Go to church. Talk to people. Fellowship with folks. Serve. Pray. Invite. You will connect. I promise you. So it's love, pray, give, witness, and connect. Some of the little things. And again, I'm excited. We got some stuff coming for you guys. Bible studies, different things happening, activities, groups starting. It's a fantastic. Building a new building. It's great. All this stuff's happening. It's awesome. But hang on. We got to do the little things first. First things first. The beginning of unfaithfulness are always the little things that we think will have no impact. That's where it starts. Oh, well, what does it matter if I don't love like I should? Ah, who cares if I'm praying like I'll pray when I can. Doesn't really matter that much anyway. That's the beginning of unfaithfulness. No one has ever called of God to a high position or to a great calling who did not lay the foundation of that calling in courageous faithfulness to the small details of the Christian life. But whether our position be high or low, there really is no high or low positions. It is required in stewards that we be found faithful. So where do the little things find you today? Well done? Or maybe we need to reassess. Wherever it finds you, I hope that you will determine by the grace of God to give yourself to the little things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this parable to remind us of the little things. And God, I need help with this. I have big dreams. I have big visions. I have all these big things that I want to do. But the reality is we need to stop and focus and give ourselves to the basic, little, fundamental things that are the essence of the Christian life. Loving each other. That's a basic thing, but sometimes we neglect it and we get bitter in our spirit. We get angry towards somebody because they said something to us and we stop loving like we should. Or even praying like we should, God, where we think, well, wow, I'm getting this down. I'm getting pretty good at this and I don't necessarily need to beg God for his strength or his power. And boy, we can get ourselves into a lot of trouble neglecting the little things of prayer. Or just giving of ourselves and time and effort and finances. And again, our church has done well with this, but God, I pray that you would help us to never neglect the little things of giving. And God, I pray that you help us to be effective in our witness, to be fervent in our witness. God, help us to, it's a little thing of being a witness. So inviting folks to church, it's so simple. It's to grab a tract and give it to somebody. Would you come to church with me? Easy. But help us not to neglect it. And then God, would you help us to connect as a church family? Lord, I know there's reasons for why we shouldn't, especially according to the world. I know there's hurts that we've experienced. I know there's past things that have been issues. But God, help us to realize your purpose in all of this and to connect with the people of God so that we might serve you on a greater level together. And really, I believe that connection is all our choice. It's up to us. Talk to some folks. Fellowship with some people. Be helpful. Be serving. And we can make a difference. We can make an impact.
So God, help us to be faithful in the little things. We thank you for this time of invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to take our hymn books and we're going to turn to the hymn.